Thank you so much, and let me tell you that what I'm going to do this morning, just to give you an example, a way of using the large data, so the large sexual network data that has been collected at the San Francisco Department of Public Health, to help developing new interventions to contain the syphilis epidemic in San Francisco. So this work is a collaborative work, multi-institutional work, and also multidisciplinary, that involves people from different disciplines like epidemiology, psychology, network science, and network engineering. So the motivations for this work are clear. We know that there is this, as Bob said, this syphilis epidemic that has seen increasing number of cases, so new interventions are needed. So the goal of our work is to explore and design, actually design first and explore through simulations, the potential impact of new interventions, and in this talk I will talk specifically about partner notification, but how using network-based mathematical models of syphilis transmission, and also giving to the network information a central role in this development. So this is the same network that Bob has shown, and here nodes are individuals and links are sexual contacts. As you can see, thinking about the partner notification, you can see that that strategy is going to, for example, just notify partners of a given infected individual, completely disregarding the complexity of the whole network structure. So that is what we want to do, is not only to consider that egocentric vision of the partners, but look at the global vision of the network. So one model we have developed is this SAIS model. S stands for susceptible, alert, infected, susceptible. So this is a development with respect to the classic SAIS model, suscepted, infected, susceptible, which is appropriate in the case of syphilis. And in this model, we added another compartment, the alert compartment. So individuals can be also in this alert compartment when they are notified of infected partners. They will seek treatment if they are infected, but if they are not infected, they will adopt some preventive behaviors. And those preventive behaviors, hopefully, will reduce the probability of becoming infected. So that is the scheme of our model. So here, this is the sexual network. Imagine Bob's network here. And for each individual, so we have these three states. So an individual can be in the susceptible state and then become infected with a transition rate beta times the number of infected individuals in the sexual network. And then the individual that is treated will transition back to the susceptible state with a rate delta. But a susceptible individual can also become alert, so this state, susceptible and alert, with a rate kappa times the number of infected individuals in the sexual network. So the person will know that partners are infected, so they become alert. An alert individual is still susceptible, so can still transition to the actual state, but now with a rate which is lower. So the rate beta is reduced by a factor A, which is a number between 0 and 1. And depending on the effectiveness of the prevention action, this will reduce more or less the transmission. So in this way, we have a state of the network that will be given by the probability of each node to be infected, alert, or susceptible. And we have differential equation and a Markov process to describe how the epidemic will evolve. Now we think, how about we add additional notifications? So not only we have the information of the sexual network, so partners which are neighbors in the sexual network will be notified, but we add further notification. So, for example, notifying the infection of a given node also to other nodes that are not direct links, so meaning not partners but others. What criteria can we use in this case? We can use a concept of distance in the network. We can, for example, notify other individuals that are close in the networks. So we have this additional layer, and this additional layer will be reflected in our SIS model through the augmented notification only in this transition. As you can see here, there are two mechanisms to transition from the susceptible to the alert state, either through the with the rate kappa times the number of infected individuals in the sexual network, or with rate mu times the number of infected individuals in the notification network. So we can kind of increase the alertness in this way. So, through theoretical kind of steps and rigorous proofs, we can show that if we have a given infection rate over recovery rate ratio, if we compute the fraction of infected individuals in the steady state, we see that this fraction decreases in the case of partner notification in comparison when we don't have any partner notification, and is further reduced in the case of this augmented notification. So in order to check this concept in the actual network, we consider the mega network as the sexual network and did some simulations. We selected some reasonable model parameters, and obviously a use of this this type of model for purposes of designing interventions will require a very accurate calibration that we haven't done yet. And we performed the sensitivity analysis to assess the model robustness. So what we saw is that if we consider the fraction of population and that is infected, starting from a little infection in time that increases and reach a some kind of steady state, that means that not always, for example, 30% of the people are always the same infected, but that people recover and then get reinfected, such that the total number of infected individuals in the time is constant. So this reinfection kind of problem is what sustains the epidemic. So that is, without partner notification, this value is around 30%. If we add partner notification, now we see that there is this red curve that tells how many individuals are in the alert state. So that alert state reduces the infected number of individuals to 20%. And then if we do this augmented partner notification, the number of infected individuals reduces further. Now, I have learned that partner notification, however, is a very expensive thing. It's difficult to find partners, it's difficult to notify, it's very expensive, resources are limited. So the very important point is the following. We have seen that augmented partner notification can be useful, but how can we design an effective and efficient augmented notification? We don't want to notify everybody of the state of everyone. So our hypothesis is that we can do this exploiting the information embedded in the sexual network. So one example, and this example is just to give you a little view of this, is assume that p% of individuals are willing to share their infected status with the whole community, and then we increase p from 0 to 100%. So what happens is the following, is that if we consider a given, so for example, to notify the status of 50% of individuals to the whole community, the status of infection, the advantage that we can obtain is equivalent to just notifying 10% of the core individuals, the ones that are more central in the network. So I conclude my talk saying that we believe that the inclusion of preventive behaviors as responses to the notification of partners' infection reduce the prevalence. Notifying additional individuals reduce the prevalence further, but the most important conclusion for us is that the sexual network structure can really help designing efficient augmented partner notification schemes. That's it. Thank you. Thank you.
Questions?
Yes.
Introduce yourself, please.
Yes. My name is Angel Weber. I'm in the Division of Adolescent Sleep Health at CDC. And my question is around the possibility of looking, or the limitations of looking at age in terms of the sexual networks that was mentioned earlier. Are there any other variables in the profile that can help us understand more about adolescent sexual networks and how they overlay in this larger network?
I think the San Francisco Department of Public Health has collected a lot of very good data. It's really amazing. So I think they can do that. They can create also networks based on the age and see how there is, if there is an overlapping of the global network or not. And also this is part of our plan of research, try to characterize which nodes, who are the individuals that are central, that have the highest network centrality, and see, for example, if they belong to some age class or they can be profiled in some specific way, especially concerning age. Sir? Yes?
I might have misunderstood the model. So you're using differential equation models, so compartmental models.
I am using network-based models, so it's a Markov chain. It's not a compartmental, meaning this proportion of the population in this compartment that move in the other compartment. So we have a kind of homogeneous model. This is an heterogeneous network-based model. So it's not. We have also differential equations because we can use on the Markov chain, on the Markov process, a mean field approximation that gives us differential equations, but differential equation not for the total number of individuals in each state, but for the probability of each node to be in each state.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
That's it. So can I now ask my question?
Sure.
It's more a sort of real life question, and you're doing this sort of what can we do if we can get the super spreaders, and how can we have a maximal impact on our epidemic?
Right.
And my question is always in that situation: is you want these people who are infected to share their status, but the fact that people with syphilis, MSM, who are the heaviest transmitters, are the ones ones unlikely to share their status. So I want to know, in real life, how do you identify the ones that are the super spreaders and get them to be so altruistic that they share their status with all their partners involved?
Yes, I will maybe ask also Bob we had an experience of a similar problem solved in a community in Kansas. So what we did was very difficult to identify this super spreader. But what we did was to consider that through some survey that was higher. So if I was picking randomly an individual in the network, the probability of that individual to be a super spreader is very low. So if I vaccinate, if the disease is possible to vaccinate randomly an individual, that is going to fail. However, we saw that these super spreader, for example, in the case we did in Kansas, were often going to a location. So what we did was to show that if I do a random search of individuals that used to go to a popular location, the probability of then getting this super spreader increased a lot. So through location identification, we were able to increase this probability of detecting the super spreaders. But also Bob has data.
Yes,
So that was in our case, we didn't have data, so we needed to kind of find a way to increase the probability of detecting them.
We were talking about this a little earlier, that the success in those efforts in getting those names of the partners is depends a lot of, on the skills of the person who is eliciting the names of the partners. And also, there are some technical aspects to it, and being able to follow up on email addresses and actually sit down with people and go through their profiles on like Manhunt and find these partners helps a lot. And it's more of a lot of these people, it's not a matter of they're unwilling, but that they had some anonymous partners and they don't know how to do it. So there are definitely limitations, but at the same time, I was surprised that we found as many connections actually as we did.
Bill Peters from CDC. I have a question about your intervention. It seems like the way it's oriented, the intervention is a behavioral intervention, which I think some people might question how effective that would be as an intervention.
So,
but my question is, can you alter that intervention so that it's more of a screening and treatment? If you have identified people who are potentially core transmitters, could they be screened very frequently and treated, you know, immediately if any infection happened, as kind of an alternative? And how would that kind of change?
Yes, I think that is a very good point, and actually our future work is centered in following two main goals. One is to try some augmented partner notification, but the other is just detecting those core individuals and give them priority, frequent treatment, and so on. So that is definitely one goal we would like to deduce from the network, this type of individuals. I think also that this can be also prophylaxis kind of thing. If a person has partners, can also seek prophylactic therapy to avoid the infection if that exists in the case of syphilis. But we have a psychologist in our team for that purpose, to try to see how much people will be willing to do those things.
Just